I got to tell you, I love springtime. Springtime is my favorite time of the year. I get to go outside and begin the garden. If you look under my fingernails, yeah, you'll see a little red dirt. But out comes the tiller at that point. And while tilling the ground is hard work, it is the first step and it is an important step. And after finishing with the tiller, I love to look over the garden, and the ground looks soft. It looks fluffy almost. But by this time of the year, though, between the rain and our walking through the garden, the ground is hard. Think of life in terms of a garden. When you're young, life for most just seems to go along and it seems soft. But what do you do when life gets hard? What do you do when life gets hard? Illness comes, death occurs, jobs are secured and lost, relationships change, and the softness of youth gives way to the hard realities of life. What do you do when life gets hard? How should you look at life? Paul gives us an answer in Romans chapter 5, so turn with me there. The hope that is in Christ is what we're to hold on to. When life gets hard, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." What do you do when life gets hard? When life gets hard, remember what God has done. Folks, it's all about Jesus. Life is all about Jesus. Remember what God has done. The gospel is good news, Paul says. Now, understand that Paul is writing to the Romans, but he's basically defending the Christian faith, the Christian life, to a bunch of Jewish people. And he says, it's all about Jesus. The gospel is good news because we have been justified by faith. He says, just like Abraham. Now, remember, Abraham, Paul reminds us in chapter 4, believed God and would do what he said he could do. And what he's really referring to is what the writer of Hebrews was talking about as well. Abraham takes Isaac, his only son, a son that he's waited on for over 90 years, his only son. And the Lord says, take Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice to me. And so, one morning, Abraham wakes up and says, "Isaac, let's go." And they go up to the top of the mountain, and Isaac is carrying the wood for the sacrifice, and Abraham's probably carrying the fire. And Isaac looks up at his dad and says, "Dad, where's the sacrifice?" "God will provide." And at some point, at least in my mind, I picture the scene where he gets Isaac to lay down on the wood, because, you know, Isaac would have trusted his dad. And Abraham raises the knife ready to cut into the flesh of his only son, knowing that if he killed him, God could resurrect him from the dead. And God said, "Whoa, hey, whoa, stop." But he says, just like Abraham, God, he believed God could do and would do what he said he could do. We are hold on to that. Faith is the acceptance both of the need to be reconciled to God and of the reconciliation itself. Remember, justification is a legal term. It's being declared not guilty. It's being declared not worthy of anything other than what good God has for us. We have been justified by faith. The heart is changed. Your character is changed, and God accepts you by faith. There are three just consequences of this justification. One is that we have peace with God. His wrath is not directed toward us any longer because of our sin, and we have a relationship with Him where all that hostility because of our sin has been taken away. We have peace with God. You know, sometimes people say, I think God is out for me. God is after me. Let me tell you, if you're justified by faith, He is not after you anymore. The second thing Paul says is by faith we have gained access into this relationship of grace. And there's one of my favorite words, and if it's not one of your favorite words, it ought to be, because grace is a great word. Because grace is that we don't have to earn. Have you ever been in a relationship, maybe it was with an employer, where you felt like you were always having to earn the right relationship? That this person was always watching you? Did you do it exactly right? Did you do this? We don't have to worry about that. Because it's about grace. It's about grace. All of us were under sin, but now we're out from under that cloud into the sunshine of grace. Well, look at that. The sun's out. I told the world changers that this morning was a typical Franklin morning. Clouds and fog, and we can't see, but the sun will come. And that's a picture of grace. And the third consequence, Paul says, is that we rejoice. We boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. The Jews felt pride because they were God's chosen people. Paul realized that after coming to Christ, any boasting or any rejoicing was all about what Christ has done. Have you ever gone to a museum where there were famous, important paintings? Did you stand there and look at the painting and say, boy, look at that paint? Did you ever go before a grand, beautiful building and say, boy, aren't those building materials spectacular? Did you ever look at a piece of equipment, maybe medical, maybe something, your home computer, and say, boy, aren't those wires something? No, what you said was, isn't the painter something? Isn't the builder great? Isn't the engineer something? And that's the way those of us who have been justified and have peace with God, I say, what a great God He is. Look at what He has done. So as you boast or rejoice, what causes it? Some of you may still be boasting and feeling good about your ability to make life work. And let me tell you, life doesn't always work. Maybe some of you are boasting in your good deeds. Oh, I did this, or I'm going to do that. Let me tell you, what you do looks like filthy rags before God. Or do you rejoice in what God has done? That by faith we have a right relationship. Are you rejoicing in what God is doing? Do you rejoice in Christ making possible a right relationship with God? When we go out of this place, we need to go out rejoicing that God has said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and light. If we will follow Christ, life's not perfect. And I'm about to say a word. I'm going to say a whole bunch more in a minute. But we have hope because of what Christ has done. So this morning, are you living by faith or are you living by sight? When you think of having joy in what God has done for you, don't think of it in subjective emotional terms, because your emotions are like a leaf in the March winds. They get blown everywhere. Think of it in objective terms, because grace is solid and grace is able to hold your weight, your life. Rejoice because the better hope in Christ doesn't depend on how you feel. It depends on who He is. And that's good. Let the truth of what Christ has done change the way the circumstances of life can make you feel. Because not everything's going to be perfect. So live by faith, trusting in what God has done. And let me just say, if you're a new believer and you thought, boy, now that I'm a Christian, life's going to be perfect. I hate to burst your bubble, but it's not. But He's going to prove that He's faithful. Remember that when life gets hard. When life gets hard, embrace the process of suffering. Life is not easy, but God is good. And He's faithful, and He's just, and He's true, and He's kind, and He's everything that we can think of. He is good. Maybe part of the problem lies in what you think rejoicing is about. Rejoicing is not to be tied to feeling good or feeling good about your life. Rejoice, He said, exult in the process of suffering because of what it produces. And He says, rejoice in tribulations, rejoice in the troubles, rejoice in the testing. And you say, are you crazy? Keep listening. Exult in this process of suffering because of what it does. Rejoice because tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance is patience and that ability to stay with or under a burden. Perseverance then produces character, proving you to be genuine and approved by God. Character then produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Hope is one of the best four-letter words in the world. Nobody caught that, did you? We talk about four-letter words. Hope is a four-letter word, and it's a great word because it does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. God's love has been poured out into your heart by the Spirit, to which has been given to every believer. In 1997, Kim and I were part of a team that went on a mission trip to Cape Town, South Africa. Cape Town is the most interesting place. It was not all that long after apartheid had been dissolved, and they were still struggling with some things. And I remember saying to the family that we stayed with that what it took us 50 years to go through as a country, they were going through in about 50 days, it seemed like. But one of the days we got to go around the countryside, and it is beautiful. It is beautiful. And one of the people with us, one of the folks from the church, got to talking about the viticulture in the area. And how they had at one point tried to use locally grown trees in producing the cask for the wine. And what they found was that those trees did not make good cask because their temperature, their weather was too mild and too serene. Oak trees particularly need extreme temperatures and a lot of wind to become the kind of tree that is really, really useful. Now, catch my analogy? That's what it takes in your life. It takes a lot of wind and a lot of extremes. What was it, the song that we sang, "The Hurricanes Upon Me"? Sometimes it feels like we're in the midst of a hurricane. All this wind is blowing on us, and what God is doing is He's producing in us what He ultimately knows that we need the most, and that is the hope that is in Christ. And so He does all these things, and He goes through this process, and I wish I could say to you that if you go through it once, you're done. But I can't say that. Went yesterday to the school, first part of World Changers. Saw some people that I hadn't seen really in a year, even though they live right here in Franklin. Well, how are things? I remember saying to one guy, well, it depends on how you want to talk about it. Because if you're talking about every time the phone rings and I jump because I wonder if it's my daughter saying that my grandson's got an issue that might be life-threatening, life's not real good. If you're talking about another child of mine who has cancer and I don't want to be the person that talks for 30 minutes about every little ache and pain, but there are things going on in all of our lives. And it's this process that God is putting us through, these trials and tribulations, all this because it produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And let me tell you, I'm looking for somebody that doesn't need more character, and I've yet to find them. And ultimately, it produces hope. Oh, I love hope. We need hope. We need hope. Suffering is not proof of being out of God's grace. Suffering is precisely where you experience God's grace the most and the best. So remind yourself of that when life gets hard. When life gets hard, watch as God demonstrates His love. The life lived for Jesus is the only life worth living. Paul makes clear the demonstration of God's love via Christ's death is the foundation of hope. If you'll look through verses 6 through 11, you'll see four times he talked about what Christ has done. That Christ died, expressing God's love whether anyone responds or not. Christ died. Christ died. So if you embrace all this, you are embracing Christ. Paul reminds us of our condition before Christ, that we were helpless, that we were ungodly sinners. So it is not our ability to make life work. It is not our winsomeness. It is Christ's love being expressed, being poured out into our lives. Because at the right time, Christ died for us. And in His dying, reconciliation was made possible. He demonstrated His love. One of the great things about living in Franklin, besides 60-degree weather in the mornings, is to go to the Performing Arts Center. You've been there, many of you. When you go in, you're looking around to see who else is there. But when the lights darken and the performers come on stage, where is your attention? You quit looking at each other and begin focusing on what's going on. And that's the way it should be in our lives. Yes, there are things happening around us, but our focus needs to be on Christ. Our focus must always be on Him because that is the most important thing in knowing God. So what are you focusing on this morning? The problem today is that salvation has become all about you and little about God. Can I say to you that we need to flip that? That it's all about Him and very little about us? And what God is doing is very little about us and it's all about Him? And God is at work because His kingdom is coming and we need to be a part of what He's doing and we need to focus on Him. Salvation is about following Jesus. He is the ultimate, not your experience in life. He is the ultimate. So are you living this morning by faith or are you living by sight? The twin aspects of faith are the recognition of your helplessness, your distance from God, your tendency to ignore God, and a total reliance on the divine nature of that love. Now, let me break that down. We tend to look at what we can do, That is not living by faith. We need to focus on what he can do. That is living by faith. So where are you focused? Augustine said there can be only two basic loves, the love of God unto the forgetfulness. Let me slow that down. There can be only two basic loves, the love of God unto the forgetfulness of self, or the love of self unto the forgetfulness of God. So who are you loving? And who are you forgetting? So what do you do when life gets hard? Try to fill it with something to take your mind off of it. Some may try to medicate their way out of it, whether by alcohol or by drugs. What do you do when life gets hard? Do you remember what God has done in your life? That he has justified us through faith? He didn't justify us because we were so capable. He justified us through what Christ has done and our faith in what Christ has done. When life gets hard, do you embrace this process in developing hope? This process? When life gets hard, are you watching as God demonstrates his love? Because he will. What do you do when life gets hard?